It is fortuitous that the first Sunday of Advent takes place on the same weekend that we're celebrating Thanksgiving. Only to say, because there is really no deeper contrast that we can draw from the popular culture that has been celebrating Christmas at places like Costco since Labor Day, and the fact that our sanctuary has no flowers, you'll notice. The clergy are wearing purple, as are many of you, appropriately. And we omitted the singing of the Gloria during the beginning of Mass. So you can notice here there's a deep juxtaposition. The culture is already celebrating Christmas, but we are celebrating actually what is not as serious a penitential season as Lent, but we're also celebrating a penitential preparatory season known as Advent. And in a way, as a Catholic, it takes an extra effort, I would argue, to be particularly vigilant, to remain in this mode of preparation, not outright yet celebration. And I always like to tell my Protestant friends that, you know, Catholics, only Catholics really know how to party. And what I mean is that, you know, Advent is 3.5 weeks or so. The Christmas season is over 40 days. Lent is 40 days. The Easter season, minimum 50 days. So for all the preparation and penance that we do, when it's time to celebrate, we really go all out. Now, I know, for instance, in my parents are from the Philippines, and my mom told me when I was growing up here in the United States, she said, you know, we were not allowed to open presents until January 6th, Epiphany. And of course, this is devastating for an 8-year-old, right? I mean, all their friends have opened gifts a couple weeks past, and, you know, no, she never imposed it on me, thank God. But I said, Mom, why did you wait till January 6th, Epiphany? She goes, well, don't you think it's rather rude to open your gifts before Jesus gets his? Oh, okay. You can see the logic behind that, all right? So this is what I call like ultra-Catholic, all right? So just to give you a sense, we really have to pay close attention if we're going to make the season count in preparation for Christmas. And that's from everything from perhaps some penitential practices. Again, not as heavy as Lent, but certainly taking time to make a good preparatory confession of one's sins before Lent. Before Christmas. So there are lots of things that we can do that are immediately available to us. But even here in our gospel today from Luke, you notice that Luke's gospel today makes no mention of Jesus' upcoming birth. So what we're going to celebrate on the 25th of December, as we have for 2023 and now 24 years, is the historical coming of the Lord Jesus in the flesh in Bethlehem over 2 millennia ago. You notice our gospel is highlighting the Lord when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So this entire age of the church, these millennia now that we've been in history, in Christian history, is this middle ground between the first coming of Christ at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago and our anticipation of his return in glory when he will come again to judge the living and the dead. So that is the world in which we will live in God's justice. This is the time in history when we still live in his mercy, where there is still time to repent, still time to turn, still time to return to the Lord our God. And I want to just point out two features of today's gospel to sort of set our minds and set our course, if you like, for the next several weeks before the Christmas season begins the evening of the 24th of this month. The first is that there is this very apocalyptic section of the gospel today depicting the end of the world. And it depicts this very, very dramatic moment. People will die of fright and anticipation of what is coming upon the world. And there will be great signs and wonders. The Son of Man will come on a cloud with power and great glory. Wow. Amazing what that will look like. Now, it's important for us to realize here, too, in this moment, as believers, we have a very, very definitive Christological understanding of history. That history is his story. That at the end, the Lord will come to judge the living and the dead, as I already said. But we are on a definitive, undeniable course in world history until that moment. In ancient Greece, by contrast, for instance, the Stoics believed that history was cyclical. So for the Stoics, they believed that about every 3,000 years or so, the world would be engulfed in a mass conflagration. There would be mass destruction, and then history would just repeat itself about every 3,000 years. The Christian view of history breaks through that penumbra of really illusion with this idea that the Lord came once in history, he suffered and died in Jerusalem, rose from the dead on the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And at the culmination of time, at the end of time, he will come to judge the living and the dead, and that's it. There is no repeat. There's no part two. That's the end. So there's a sense here we have as believers that, you know, our lives, for as long as we are here in this life, is just for a moment. We're all just passing through. But Jesus Christ remains the Lord of history. But then there's this other part of the gospel, and I'll close with it today. It's this warning that our Lord gives us, and maybe it's a very good warning during December when we're very prone to be invited to Christmas parties. This is what the Lord's words are. He says, "Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times." To close, I want to give you an image that I think could be helpful. It's an experience I'm sure we've all had. If you've ever talked to a friend about a movie that they have seen and you have not, you sometimes have to warn certain kinds of friends, "Don't tell me what happens. Don't tell me what happens. Don't tell me, because I want to see the movie and you're going to spoil it for me." Or I know people, I've lived with priests before, who, let's say they're reading a novel and they will flip to the end. And they want to know what happens at the end, right? Because they don't like surprises. They don't want to be surprised. I'm the reverse. Keep me in suspense to the very bitter end. And if it just completely rocks my world, fine, I'll live with it. It's all right, right? Well, this is a really good image in the sense of the vigilance we need to keep. When we talk about these great apocalyptic signs that are going to occur at the end of the world, there is, in a certain sense in us, a natural fright because we will never have seen anything like it, assuming we're even around when it happens. Okay, we could long be dead, all of us, all right? Nevertheless, for everyone in the universe, it will be something. But we should not have an anticipation that is rooted in fear. And I think that is the heart of the Advent message. We already know what happens at the end of the book. We know. Now, all the details, that's for God alone to know, and how these are all going to play out. And a lot of what is metaphor and analogy in the writings, fine. All the details will work themselves out. But the challenge is that if we're ready, if we're vigilant, if we're prepared, I mean, as much as we possibly can be, it should not be a moment that is going to cause us this fear of fright, as in hopelessness, but rather quite the reverse, full of hope. And this is why our Lord says, right, "You stand up, stand your heads erect, and look up to the sky, for your redemption will be at hand." Now, I know all of us will probably cower because of just the natural events that are scary in a natural sense. But deep within us, as firm believers in the Lord Jesus, and how his coming as man into the history of the world changed everything, this end of the world is neither going to be a surprise nor real cause for fear that causes us to die, but rather to live. And this is the hope of the Advent season that all of us should continue along with. A vigilance against the carousing and the drunkenness of the Advent season, which is already, again, the celebration of the Christmas season early, but also a real confidence that when the Lord returns in glory, that we will be ready to meet him, not in an arrogance or self-assuredness, but in a humility born out of a realization that we are sinners in need of saving, that he has already come to redeem and has conquered the world, and that all we need do is participate in his love, which will conquer the darkness and death of this world. I pray for each of us that this Advent season will not be lost on any of us, that we will indeed use it as a time of proper preparation for the festivities to come. And when that day comes, a little later on this month, we will do so with great expectation and joy, knowing that our Redeemer has, again, made his tent among us, and he has saved us from our sins. May he be praised both now and forever. Amen.